Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. We're now in chapter number 8, and it's entitled Becoming a World Christian. And the objectives of this particular lesson are, upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to define the term world Christian. You're going to be able to understand what it is to become a world Christian and explain the strategy the early church used to reach the world with the gospel. Our key verse is going to be found in John 15:16. It says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So, as an introduction, in the previous chapter you learned of the responsibility of the church in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as an individual believer, you are part of the corporate body of Jesus Christ, which is known as the church. Now, if the church is to fulfill its mission in the world, then each member must recognize their part in God's plan. You have a personal responsibility for the world, and that responsibility goes beyond donating just a few dollars to church missionary offering each month. This chapter really concerns itself with your personal responsibility to the world. You will learn how to become a world Christian. You must move from being a spectator to a participator in God's plan for the nations. Every person an evangelist. Now, when Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and ye shall be my witnesses," he was talking to a group of his followers. But as with every group, this group was made up of individuals. When Jesus said, "Go ye," it had not only a group reference, but also an individual reference. Each member of the group was to accept the challenge personally. If the individuals within the group failed to respond, then the group would fail. Now, the challenge is to go to all the nations of the world is now assumed by the church, but the church is made up of individuals, and it will only be effective in meeting this challenge as each person personally responds to the Great Commission. Each one, teach one. Now, in the early church, each person took personal responsibility for spreading the gospel. Cross-cultural evangelism was done by laymen who were not full-time clergy, and some of the greatest evangelistic campaigns were conducted by these laymen. Acts 6 and 7 illustrate this with the stories of Philip and Stephen. They were both laymen mightily used of God to spread the gospel. When the persecution came against the church at Jerusalem, believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The Bible records in Acts 8:4 that they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Now, each believer accepted the challenge to teach faithful men and women who would be able to teach others also. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And that's found in 2 Timothy 2:2. So this unbroken cycle of spiritual reproduction resulted in continuous multiplication of believers. Every home, a center of reproduction. Now, the idea of a home as a center of spiritual development is not new. From the giving of God's law to man, the home was intended to be a training center. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." That's found in Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Now, every home in the early church was a center of evangelism, and believers taught the gospel not only in the temple, but daily in the home. In Acts 5:42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." The evangelistic thrust of the home groups was apparently so successful that when Saul was trying to crush the church, he did not feel he could do it by just concentrating on the temple. He also entered every house to stop the spread of the gospel. Now, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. The vision of God's plan for the cross-cultural spread of the gospel was given in a home as Peter prayed on the rooftop, according to Acts 10. The first message to the Gentiles was preached in the home of Cornelius, which is also there in Acts chapter 10. The great cross-cultural evangelist Paul was discipled by Ananias in a home, according to Acts 9, and Paul taught both publicly and also house-to-house during his ministry. Acts 20:20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." So Paul's final days of ministry were in a rented house where he received all who came, teaching and preaching to them. In Acts 28:30-31, it says this, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So Jesus declared that his house was to be called of all nations a house of prayer. In Mark 11:17 it says, "And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer?" So the Greek word for house in this verse means dwelling place. They can be either a private home or a public temple. The strategy of the early church to reach the world was each believer reproducing with each home serving as a center of evangelism. The results were this, that there were results of every person and every home strategy in the early church. They reached their world with the gospel. The enemies of the church themselves declared in Acts 17:6, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." What would be the results if every believer would follow this pattern today? So study the chart on the following page. This chart uses the period of a year as the average time necessary to win and train a new convert and make him a reproductive believer. In reality, the process could take more or less time depending on the people involved. But by using a year as an average, if each believer would reach just one person each year, disciple them and have them pledge to disciple one person each the following year, that would easily be reached within the gospel. So observe on the chart that during the first year, the believer wins and disciples trains one person. At the end of the year, there are now 2 faithful men, the believer and the person he has discipled. During the next year, each of them disciple one person. At the end of the second year, there's a total of 4 people, each of whom will disciple one person the following year. Much of the population of the world is yet unreached by the gospel, but God has provided a strategy that if employed by each professing believer would easily complete the task of spreading the gospel of the kingdom. So you can look at the chart in your book and see what that would come out to. And now we're going to deal with world Christians. So there's a movement growing throughout the world today, and it's not a denominational or an organizational movement. It is a group of believers who have come to recognize their personal responsibility in spreading the gospel to the nations of the world. This group is composed of people of many races, cultures, languages, and religious denominations. The one thing they have in common is their personal commitment to become a world Christian. A world Christian is one who, one, acknowledges that the God revealed in the Holy Bible as the one true God. It, two, acknowledges the Holy Bible as God's written word. 3, has personally accepted God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. 4, has adopted a biblical worldview. And 5, has personally accepted the challenge to take the gospel to the nations of the world. This does not necessarily mean a world Christian will leave their own nation or go to another culture, although they are willing to do so if God so lead. What it does mean is that they are committed to spreading the gospel right where they are, in their own village or city. They are also committed to sending others to the unreached peoples of the world, whether in full-time ministry or a secular occupation. The first priority of a world Christian is spreading the gospel. The world Christian commitment. The people who have accepted this personal challenge have made a special commitment to God. This is where they have pledged, according to Romans 15:20-21, By the grace of God and for His glory, I commit my entire life to obeying the commission of Matthew 28:18-20. Wherever and however God leads me, giving priority to those peoples currently beyond the reach of the gospel, Romans 15:20-21, I will endeavor to share this vision with others. As a part of the self-test of this chapter, you're going to be given the opportunity to sign this commitment, Developing as a World Christian. For further study section of this chapter, give some suggestions for obtaining materials to further develop as a World Christian. Here's some other things you can do to become involved in God's plan. What you actually need to do is prepare for the call of God. Number one, present yourself a living and sanctified sacrifice to the Lord, according to Romans 12:1-2. Two, be sure that there's no sin which will interfere with your spiritual hearing or eyesight, Ephesians 1:18 and Colossians 1:9. Three, eliminate preconceived personal plans and ambitions, Psalms 25:9. Four, form the habit of daily prayer and Bible study, according to Joshua 1:8, Psalms 77:12, 119:15, and 25-45. Five, wait patiently on the Lord and expect Him to direct every step of your everyday life and activities. He will make His will and calling sure. That's according to Proverbs 3:6, Psalms 23:3, 32:8, and 37:5-7. And remember, no time is ever lost in waiting for God to reveal His plan to you. Joseph waited in prison for 2 years, but then emerged to save a nation. Moses waited on the desert for 40 years, but emerged to lead a nation in a great spiritual exodus from slavery to freedom. And six, obtain the Harvest Time International Institute course entitled Knowing God's Voice to study as you prepare yourself to answer God's call. The important thing is just to go ahead and begin where you are. One, obey God daily in the little things of everyday life, according to Luke 19:17, 1 Samuel 15:22. If you're not faithful over the little things God gives you to do right where you are, He will not entrust a greater call or ministry to you. Matthew 25:14-30. Look around your village or city with spiritual eyes and ask God to show you those in need of the gospel. The Harvest Time International Institute course Environmental Analysis will help you with this. Then you're going to reach out in evangelism in those in your area. The Harvest Time International Institute course Multiplication Methodologies and Leaven Like Evangelism will assist you in becoming a part of God's plan right where you are. And number two, be willing to go and be used anywhere by God, according to John 7:17. This might mean living in your own area and going to another culture to spread the gospel. It might mean just walking down the street to share the gospel with someone in need. Three, continue to study the spiritual needs of the world to further develop your spiritual vision, John 4:35. Read books on the subject, take short trips, which will expose you to the people of other cultures. Attend mission conferences even offered in your area. Four, spend time in prayer for the nations of the world and the laborers in the harvest fields, Matthew 9:37-38. Chapter 9 of this course provides an organized plan for doing this. Five, begin to use your spiritual gifts. The Ministry of the Holy Spirit, a Harvest Time International course, will guide you in this discovery. Six, join a committee for evangelism in your church. If they do not have one, start one. Chapter 10 and 4 further study section will assist you in doing this. Establish contact with those spreading the gospel in other nations. Write to missionaries on the field. Ask them to stay in your home when in your area. Learn from their experiences. You'll benefit from these contacts as they communicate their burden, needs, and victories to you. Number eight, seek further training to prepare yourself to reach the world. Send for a catalog of Harvest Time International Institute courses to assist you in preparation. Nine, share what you have learned. Join or form a small group of world Christians to learn about the world and act on this knowledge. Chapter 10 of this manual will help you to do this. 10. Begin an organized program of systematic giving of your personal finances to help spread the gospel. Examine your lifestyle. What adjustments can you make in order to free more of your finances to go to the work of the Lord. And 11, obtain your passport. God may want to send you to go to another nation to share the gospel. Recognize the call of God. Every believer is called to share the gospel with others right where they are, but some will receive a special call from God to another culture or to enter full-time ministerial positions such as pastors, evangelists, missionaries. There are certain principles by which you can be sure of God's calling, and it gives you in the harvest field to which he sends you. You want to ask yourself these questions. 1, does what you desire to do agree with God's general plan as set forth in his word? Is it scriptural, and does it contribute towards the goal of reaching the world with the gospel? 2, do the circumstances of your life agree with what seems to be the leading of God? Do not be led by circumstances alone, but examine these in terms of what you believe to be your calling from God. 3, does the Holy Spirit bear continual witness with your spirit that this is the will of God? Lack of peace in your spirit is often a warning sign that you are making a wrong decision. 4, are you still called when there is no challenge or adventure or clamor connected with your call? If to an insignificant task or field of service, are you willing to go? And 5, are you willing to pay any price to fulfill the call God has given you? The price may range from obtaining further education to dying a martyr's death. It may mean leaving home, family, and friends. So are you willing? He has ordained you. Jesus has chosen you to be a part of reaching the nations of the world. He has ordained you to bring forth spiritual fruit from the harvest fields, and he has promised to supply anything you need to enable you to complete the task. John 15:16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." That's it for this chapter. Go ahead and go on to your self-test, and then join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.